Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Hi folks, I'm Ashok. I'm a group program manager in the FAST team, which is a division of Microsoft based in Norway. And I'm the group program manager responsible for the Oslo experience that we're going to be showing today.
Awesome. And hi, everybody. My name is Jem. I work on the SharePoint product marketing team. And I'm really happy to be here with Ashok. So, Ashok, is that why we named the app Oslo? Because you guys are based in Oslo?
You're very clever, Jem. You pick up
Nice.
on it pretty quickly. We always think it's best to name things. It's a code name for now, but we're always good to name things that you're very proud of. And what could you be more proud of than home? And so, welcome to Codename Oslo. Now, before I dive into the experience, just a quick show of hands. How many people here read documents, edit documents? Hands, hands. Okay, good, good. Oslo is designed for you. That's good. How many of those documents that you read or edit are stored in a bunch of different SharePoint team sites, like several team sites, or distribution lists,
Nice.
or
A lot of
Yammer
hands.
groups, or hopefully OneDrive? OneDrive, anyone? Okay, good. I see a lot of hands for OneDrive. Okay, great. Oslo is designed to make your lives easier. Let's take a look. So, Oslo brings you the most interesting, the most relevant, and the most useful information from across all of Office in one place. So, here's all the documents. This is actually a real feed for me at work. And so, Oslo's brought to me some really interesting information from a variety of different places. Here's a team site from the OneDrive team. Here's actually an external web page that showed up here in Oslo as well. This is an external web page on the internet written by Joel at collabshow.com. That's really interesting. That's actually trending amongst my team because it was shared on a DL that I'm a member of. And so Oslo really finds the fantastic content from various places and brings them to me. That's a particularly interesting one because I would have missed that had it were not for Oslo. And for the reason why it's actually trending amongst our team, I'm actually from Norway, is that a lot of the folks from the FAST team were not able to travel here in person. So the idea that the link for the webcast streaming of the keynote this morning started trending, that was really awesome to see. Now, we've got content from the Office 365 video portal here. Here's another SharePoint conference team site. Here's a team site that my team actually works on. Now, one of the things that we've really tried hard to do is to make sure the content really looks fantastic in Oslo. And just to kind of prove to you what the alternative is, or what today's experience is without Oslo, here's that same team site that I'm a member of, right here, as you can see. Yep. It's actually great. This is a great view of the information optimized for the folders and where things are stored. But it's not optimized to be a delightful, visually engaging experience where you're meant to discover the best of what's on this site. And of course, even if we did that just on this one particular location, remember all of you had your hands up, you've got documents stored on many, many different places, many different team sites like this, right? So, welcome back to Oslo. Now, one of the things that people often ask when they see Oslo is, wow, these documents, they look really good, Jem. Is this real? Are these actually real pictures, or did we, fake these thumbnails? And actually, we actually put a lot of effort and time into this, and what we actually do is actually a pretty simple algorithm, but actually works very effectively. We dive into each one of these documents, and if they contain pictures, we take a picture out and show that as the thumbnail instead of just a generic list view or generic icons. And to prove that to you right now, I'm actually going to dive into this document that showed up over on the far right, the SharePoint conference attendee party. This is another great document because this is one that I would have missed. Also, too busy working on our presentations and our slide decks and stuff. And so I didn't even know there was actually an attendee party. And right here on actually slide three, you'll see the picture of the Venetian that was actually chosen to be the thumbnail for this document. We picked the highest resolution picture. Again, this is not fakery. This is actually, real code running against real documents. And one of the key insights that we actually found is that for documents that people want to share, the really important documents that people present in meetings, the ones they spend a lot of time authoring on, They actually like to include visuals. Imagine that. You know, pictures do help you communicate your message. And you know what? If you as an author go to the effort to take the time to include a picture in your document, even if it's as simple as just a picture of a whiteboard, like right here, we ought to respect that. In fact, we ought to celebrate that. We ought to make your content that you spend time producing, you know, look the best it can possibly be. And so we've taken that very seriously here in the Oslo experience. And so we're actually very proud to present content in the most delightful way with these cards. Now, it's not just about the visuals as well. It's actually about, you know, is this really the most useful, the highest quality content that's actually showing up here in Oslo? So let's take a look. Let's actually dive in. You know, we showed a number of things like the external web page on the internet. Here's a SharePoint conference attendee party presentation. The first one that shows up is actually really near and dear to my heart because in the FAST team, we have a really great collaboration with the OneDrive team. This is a particular document that I've actually been modifying myself, as you can see here with the last action that's occurred on that document. And so the content that you actively work on bubbles up right to the top of Oslo, right? And in fact, we all work on content, again, that lives on various different sites. So imagine that other list view, right? And if I had to remember in which subfolder of that team site is that document that I've been working on, well, with Oslo, you no longer have to worry about where content lives. The stuff that you care about is going to surface and come right to you with Oslo.
Why, Ashok? Do you struggle with 10 blue links? Struggle remembering where they are?
You know, 10 blue links is a fine experience.
Yeah.
You know, it serves its needs. But we took an approach to really reimagining search and discovery. And what we actually found out is that, like, 10 blue links might be fine for content that you may have seen before or something. But when you really care about discovering new content that you have not read before, like this, you know, SharePoint conference attendee party document or this external web page, you really need to provide a little bit of a glimpse of what that content is actually about. So, you know, let's take a look at how some of the things that we do there. We actually pull in analytics, social analytics from across the suite in Office 365. So if there's been comments in Yammer or likes in Yammer, we pull that right in and show that to you in the document card. Because that's actually one of the reasons you often use to decide what's actually worth reading. Are these documents actually being talked about? Are people actually liking the content within my organization? We also pull the best analytics from SharePoint. And so I can see that this SharePoint Journey to the Cloud video that Julia showed in the keynote has gotten 384 views within my organization. And so now it starts bubbling up to me as well. Here's another great document. I'm going to plug one of the search-driven publishing sessions. We're the search team in FAST. Coming up tomorrow on Tuesday on search-driven publishing. And I'm kind of curious why this is actually bubbling up for me here in Oslo. Because I've actually viewed it before, but then when I, you know, again, dive in and look at the actual activity, I can see that Helge on my team has actually modified this, right? So now there's a new update to this document that I saw that I had viewed previously, but now Oslo is telling me, you know, it's intelligent. Hey, there's a new version of this available right now. Maybe you want to come check it out. And actually, it looks like there's three conversations in Yammer already about it. I can take a quick look at those, and sure enough, I can see, hey, there's a bunch of other people who are looking. Looking forward to this session. Got George and my team in Oslo saying, hey, good luck. Thanks, George. Like I said, this is real data. This is not fake data. thank you, George. All right. Helga, I'm going to give you a quick like on this document as well. I think that session is going to rock tomorrow. But as you can see, you know, Jim, we've really, really placed a lot of effort in reimagining search and discovery, you know, both at the experience level and the underlying technology as well.
Yep. No, that's great, Ashok. And I think that, you know, like you mentioned, Oslo is a really personalized experience. So what you see is something that I might not see because we're actually two different people. The topics that you work on, the different teams that you interact with might be different than the topics and the teams that I have relationships with. And it makes total sense that I would see different content than you. For instance, right off the bat here, I noticed the Transforming Work and Transforming Office blog post that Jeff Tepper actually published this morning. This is great. I didn't even know this blog post went live this morning. As you can imagine, I was running around in the keynote at the backstage getting ready for this session, and I really didn't have a time to just sit up and catch up on what's really happening around me. And this gives me so much better situational awareness. It really bubbles up this important piece of content right in my view. And like you mentioned, right with internally, there's a lot of views, there's a lot of discussions, a lot of likes. And what's not to like about this? I'll like it as well, and I'll probably catch up after this session. Jeff really talks about how we will transform the way we work together as a network with some of these experiences such as Oslo and some of the underlying fabric, which we'll get to shortly. But this is great. You know, this is highly relevant and important content for me. For instance, here's another good one. This is the Office 365 video portal. Now, the folks who might have been at the keynote probably saw a little glimpse of this. This is a session that will be available tomorrow morning at 10:45. I won't steal their thunder. This is a great example of how Microsoft really brings together different experiences to our users. In this case, we actually work with the Windows Azure Media Services team as well as the SharePoint portal team to bring this high-end video experiences right within Office 365, right within SharePoint Online. So I won't steal their thunder. You could check that session out tomorrow. But why am I seeing this here? Well, it's because I actually work with this team. Although I work with the FAST team a lot, Ashok, I also happen to work with this team as well. And we're definitely looking at how video can be a first-class citizen and also can be discovered right within this experience. And based on my relationships with that team, based on the different discussions I had over time, the different ways we collaborated, Oslo quickly know that this is something important for me and was able to provide that right in my view. So as you can see, with the blog post, which is something that happened this morning, and the session that will actually happen tomorrow, Oslo, whether it's in the past or whether it's in the future, was able to understand what's really important for me and provide that right in my view. And it's really, really powerful. Ashok, to your point, I think this experience is far more than just discovering information. I'm sure there are other scenarios where this could really help me get my job done more effectively. Can we talk a little bit about those as well?
Yeah, you know, Jim, I think the best way to actually show what you would use Oslo for is actually show it in some real-world scenarios. Jim, I just realized we were so busy helping other teams with their sessions that we didn't do the slide deck for our session.
No, I mean, you're right. I think out of this week, you'll see that there's 250 sessions, and we are the only session that doesn't have a deck. But I'm excited that we're going to build it on stage today.
Yeah, okay. All right. No pressure.
But I did do the title slide, by the way. So.
Yeah, and you did a fantastic job about that. Here we are. Okay. Maybe we can see if Oslo can help us put together this deck in real time. It's a tall order, but we don't have a choice. So let's do it. Before I jump into Oslo again, just a quick show of hands. How many people actually like to reuse content whenever they start out on a presentation? They actually like to, you know, refer to old slides they've worked on or even slides that other team members. Okay, good, most of you. Now, if you connect this observation that we all like to reuse content that we've been working on in the past to the very first time you raise your hands, which is there's stuff stored all over the place, boy, it makes it pretty hard, doesn't it? And so let's jump back to Oslo. And now, Jim, I know that there's a deck that I've started or worked on, presented about Oslo several weeks ago. But again, I have no idea where it's actually stored. And it's not really trending up to the top around my team or anything, because it was a while ago. But you know what I can do is I can tap on this instant search box right here in Oslo. And before I type anything at all, Oslo has sort of a map of my world, you know, without me changing any of my work habits at all. It's actually got these really interesting ways to navigate my world by these really sort of intuitive pivots, like what's been presented to me, or what's been modified by me, or what's been shared with me. In some ways, they actually sound a little bit magical, but let's see if Oslo can back it up. Now, it's a presentation that I've been working on in the past, so I know it's modified by me. So I'm just going to tap on modified by me. And again, this is all the documents that I've been working on over the past several months brought to me in one place. And all I had to do is tell Oslo, look for stuff that I've worked on. Imagine doing this, right, without something like Oslo, having to go to all those various team sites, all those various locations, your OneDrives, you know, your distribution lists, your Yammer groups to find all the content that that you've been working on. You know, actually, what's great, it looks like, and you can tell, like, this content comes from various different locations. There's various team sites. Right here, there's even a document off my manager Bjorn's OneDrive here. But the document I'm looking for is actually right here, codename Oslo. So let me snap Oslo over here and really show how it can be a companion while we work on this deck in PowerPoint. I'll pop open this this presentation in PowerPoint. Again, I never had to think about where's that URL, what location it was. I didn't have to dig through my inbox to figure out where this thing might have been. Did I actually share it with someone? No, I just went to, hey, modified by me. And actually, I think this is a great slide to start off the deck for our session with Jem. It sort of frames in one slide what we're trying to accomplish here with Oslo. You know, again, first, you really pivot the content, make people and content the hero of a visually delightful, engaging experience. It's not just about 10 blue links anymore. And then offer people really natural, intuitive ways to navigate your world at work, such as what you've worked on or what's been shared with you and so forth. And also, as you saw for both Jem and myself, as soon as we launched Oslo, it brought us, you know, the most interesting and the most relevant information from across all those various locations, you know, right to us, and it was tailored specifically for us. So I can really stay in the know of what's going on around my world. And something we'll get to later on in the session, Jem, about how to really work as a network. You know, we all know that great work these days doesn't happen just by, you know, people sitting alone in their offices working alone, but really about people working together as a team. So I'm going to go ahead and grab these slides.
Awesome.
And I think we can start our deck.
And while you're doing that, Ashok, you know, I really found it interesting that with one click, you were able to get to and navigate to that content you actually needed. But while you were there, this is my Oslo view, by the way. I found that presented to me sounded very interesting. So let me talk a little bit about presented to me. So with now one click, I'm able to go into a view of all content that was presented to me in the past. Whether this was content that was presented in a meeting and that I might have seen. And usually what happens today is after such a meeting, you ask your colleague, hey, can you send me that deck? You know, you wait around for a few hours or a few days, especially if they're based in Norway with the time zone differences. I usually wait a day. But finally, you get the deck. You know, a few weeks later, it's actually out of date. This is a common problem. You always are trying to play catch-up, trying to get the latest information. But this is a great way for me to quickly navigate to that content that I might have seen before. But wait a second. How does Oslo know that I was actually presented this content? And that's where the secret sauce comes. That's where this concept that we have been talking about in the keynote that you might have heard called Office Graph really helps us navigate to and discover content across. And I think there's a slide right here. There's a deck that actually talks about Office Graph that was presented to me. So let me quickly click on that and talk briefly. I know we're going to dive more into this as we go out through this session, but at a high level, Office Graph is this new information fabric, this new concept that spans across these different experiences that we already use every day. It allows us to consume all content, regardless of where it is stored, whether it's in Exchange, in attachments, in SharePoint Online, different OneDrive folders, different team sites, God knows where it is, even different Yammer groups that you might be collaborating and discussing on. It pulls all that content into this information fabric, but not just content, because pulling content would be easy, but it also pulls all user interactions and all user behavior, which we like to call signals. So once we capture all of this content and signals, we can then start to apply machine learning algorithms to get the really meaningful personalized insights. So we actually learn over time who you really are, what do you really care about, what types of relationships do you have to other teams, other people, other content, and with these new insights, we can start to enrich this new data model called Office Graph. And once we enrich this Office Graph, then we could start to deliver new information experiences. Experiences that are more intelligent, more predictive, more rich. And one example, one hero example of these experiences built on the Office Graph is this new app called Codename Oslo that we have been showing. But keep in mind, Oslo is the first app built on Office Graph, but in the future, we know that the intelligence that's captured, the insights that are captured in this graph, will then also start to surface with existing client applications we have, whether it's an Exchange, SharePoint Online, and Yammer, and as well as via our partner and developer community who could start to build really rich, really intelligent, predictive experiences right on top. So this becomes very, very powerful. But there's another benefit of this. Now, the fact that I consume all content and signals allows me to not only just search across all of the different information silos I have, but it also helps me discover information in a very proactive way. And I'll show you my current role today. So let me actually go right here. You'll see that I have so much content in my different OneDrive sites, in my different team sites. You'll see that I actually belong to many different team sites. I'm working with different teams across different locations, different areas. Let me switch over to Yammer. You can see that I'm part of many different groups. There is so much information out there, and it would be almost impossible for me to come every morning to the office, grab my cup of coffee, sit around and navigate around, click around, and try to see what's really happening around me. And now, because Office Graph knows more about me, what I really care about, what's really important for me, it could now start to surface the highly important and relevant information in a very proactive way. And that's the difference between search and discovery. Search is when you're looking for something because you need to complete a task, but discovery should happen without you requiring to have a lot of manual labor and manual effort. And that's what we could do with the graph. But I think the secret sauce of the graph is the signals. And I know, Ashok, that I had actually been working on a slide that explains what signals are.
Great.
I just don't remember where it is. You know, it could be in one of these different team sites. It could be in my OneDrive. But I assume that you might be able to easily find it and talk briefly about it as well.
Thank you for assuming that, Jim. I'll do my best. So let's take a look. All I know is, as Jim, you told me, has signals, right? And so let's just try a couple of some of the existing sort of best-in-class experiences out there. Let's start off with internet search. If I type signals into Bing, now, of course, this is what the world overall thinks are the best results. For a very generic term like signals, it's not in any way personalized to me. And so, of course, it's not going to give me the document that that Jim is asking me to look for. Okay, well, let's, you know, and I didn't really expect, you know, internet search to help me there, but maybe let's go to the best-in-class enterprise search, right? Produced by Fast, of course, and SharePoint. And so I type signals in here, and again, these are actually great results. These are the results within Microsoft about signals. But again, signals is such a very generic
keyword.
There's
many flavors of signals, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, the problem is this isn't unique to us, and it's certainly not the thing that you're asking me to find, Jim, look for. But maybe I can refine this query a bit. I do know that you worked on it, right? So I type signals and your name, Jim. But it turns out, Jim, you're an acronym at Microsoft, Customer Experience Management.
I'm great with customers, so.
Yeah, you are. You're great with customers, but unfortunately, that's not the Jim that most people at Microsoft are looking for. Unfortunately. And so, okay, let's see if we can try and codename Oslo, right? Now, this time, I'm actually going to show the web experience in Oslo. Oslo is not just a Windows 8 application. How many folks here use devices other than just devices that run Windows 8?
A lot of hands.
Okay, great. You, sir, I love you because you only use Windows 8. Thank you very much. But for the rest of you, we've got you covered as well. Oslo is going to be a key new workload in the Office 365 experience. It's built in right here into the top suite navigation bar in Office 365. It's got all those same really natural ways to pivot your work, like we saw here, like presented to me, shared with me, and so forth. As well as actually, you know, a couple little, you know, nice little new features that we're looking at. These are people that I'm quite likely to be interested in because of their strong connection between me and them through the Office Graph. And so some of these people are folks in my team, some of these people that I just sort of work with naturally. And so, again, some of that intelligence bringing it to you just one step closer in Oslo in Office 365. And, of course, all those great visuals about how we actually present documents in a very delightful and engaging way. Now, okay, Jim, let's just try exactly typing the same things that we would have typed in those other experiences. So first you mentioned signals. That's the only thing that we know. Notice that as I type signals, the instant search box in Oslo starts recognizing that's a keyword or a topic. It starts refining those intuitive natural language queries to know that's now about this subject. So it's not just everything modified by me or everything viewed by me, but it's only that kind of only those queries about signals. And in fact, Jem, I think you told me that the one thing you did tell me in addition to signals is that you shared it
with me, right? Yeah.
So let's go ahead and try and take that selection. And here we go. That second document right here, Office Graph Signals, is exactly the thing that you were looking for. So.
Awesome.
So pretty good. Okay, now, you know, maybe it's like a week or two later, and, you know, having to remember that it was shared with me is kind of a very specific behavior.
Well, let me ask you something, Ashok. You know, in Office 365 today, there is numerous ways of sharing information. You know, I could share by sending an old school attachment.
Yep.
I could share through OneDrive. I could share with Yammer. How does it know how I shared with you, or does it really matter?
Yeah, this is the great thing about Office really being a suite of workloads that really talk to each other and connect with each other through the Office Graph. It doesn't really matter how you share, right? In fact, the shared with me view that we have in Oslo is exactly the same shared with me view that you have in OneDrive, right? Which includes all the stuff that's shared with you, and, you know, documents that live on OneDrive and team sites and so forth. And also, there's some exciting work happening in the Outlook Web, Outlook Online product in Office 365, where if you start attaching a bunch of documents, you get the option to actually move those into OneDrive and share them with the people in the who receive that email. And so that signal is also captured into the Shared With Me view as well. And of course, over time, we're just going to do more and more, capture all the various ways that people share things. But the most common ways, we got you covered already. Now back to this query. You know, some people might say, "Hey, you know, we found it because I remembered that, you know, Jem, you shared it with me, and that's a very specific action to remember." So maybe it's a week or two later, and you know, I need to find this document again. And you know, again, I'm going to type signals, but I'm going to type again what I just typed in those previous search experiences. I'm going to just type your name also, Jem. And notice that as I start typing your name, because we work together, because we have that connection with each other in the Office Graph, it knows that when I type CEM, I'm much more likely to mean you than customer experience management.
I'm really happy for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. I'm glad that we're working together. And so I issue that query. And again, it filters all the stuff that you've worked on all the places that you have down to, you know, about signals. And it's actually the item right here. So, yes. Awesome. And just a key point, like Jem mentioned, you know, we're bringing a lot of these insights from the Office Graph into Oslo first, but of course we're going to make the best-in-class enterprise search engine, you know, utilize all these insights and take advantage of these as well as the other applications in Office 365. Now, Jem, you talked a lot about the difference between search and discovery, and so I wanted to show a little bit about how Oslo can be a great discovery tool in addition to just search. And, you know, when we first showed Oslo, it sort of magically knew the right stuff to just bring directly to us, right? And we think we can do a great job of that based on the various people that you work with and your activities in Office. But sometimes, you know, I kind of want to discover a little bit more on various topics or various, you know, things. And one of the things that we can really do is help you tap into the network of other people who have, you know, great networks to discover information, right? And so my manager, Bjorn, is an interesting guy. He's sitting in the audience right here. And he has a fantastic network across, you know, Microsoft, much broader network than I do, because he, you know, talks to a lot of other people and a lot of other teams, has a much broader perspective of things that he's exposed to. Now, the vast majority of that stuff I have access to anyway. Again, Oslo never changes permissions on anything. It's merely the best of what I already have access to across Office. And so, but maybe I can discover some new things by, you know, sort of tapping into Bjorn's network. So let me take a stab at that. I'll just start typing Bjorn's name. And now I just type B and J. And again, remember, just a couple characters. And because Bjorn and I have a strong connection in the Office Graph, he's my manager, we also do a lot of work together, you know, now I get these interesting natural language activity pivots, not pivoted around me or a topic or keyword, because it recognizes that Bjorn is a person, right? And now it now refines those queries to be about Bjorn. Yeah. Now I'm going to choose not the conventional ones like modified by or shared with. I'm going to choose this other interesting one called trending around Bjorn. And this is great. This is the high quality stuff, the high quality information that's really active and hot and trending around Bjorn's network. Again, all filtered by what I have access to. And the great thing is, a lot of that stuff we all have access to. In fact, one of the great documents I discovered here is up here in the top row, the Microsoft Enterprise Social Product Strategy. This is a great document that really frames how Oslo, the Office Graph, and Yammer really fit together to make a social strategy that I think is sort of, you know, beyond comparison with anything else out there in the industry. Now, the guy who authored it, Nate Fink, you know, he's not in the FAST team. He's in, you know, a different team than Microsoft. He wouldn't have known necessarily that I was interested in it. And how should he have known, right? He shouldn't have to send email to every possible person.
And you probably wouldn't want everybody sending you tons of emails of, hey, check this out nonstop as well.
Last thing, you know, I mean, who wants more email in their inbox, right, of stuff that you might be interested in, right? And so with Oslo, you can discover stuff on your own terms. Now, again, you know, Bjorn gets to see a lot of stuff. A lot of really interesting stuff here. Too much to read at times. And so I'm going to actually refine this query to be a little bit more specific to something that I'm interested in right now. And so I'll just type SPC about the SharePoint conference. And again, you know, Oslo automatically recognizes that SPC is a topic, you know, or a keyword, not a person. So now I get this fantastically precise query of the highest quality information across Bjorn's network about the SharePoint conference. Like, again, this is all stuff that I have access to already, but it's fragmented all across these various workloads and locations and silos. And by doing a very natural, intuitive query, trending around a person about a topic, you know, I get some fantastic content. Here's a great one. Here's another session that's not, you know, being done by anyone in the FAST team, but another team in SharePoint. And so, and because Bjorn has that broader view and does a little bit more work with the other teams around SharePoint and Microsoft, you know, I get to now see that. And of course, the person who worked on that is in no way trying to restrict it. He wants more people to see it, but he's not going to send email to everyone saying, come look at my session. So now, this is great. So we got a great chance to see, you know, sort of the magic of Oslo, you know, really integrated and built into Office 365. I did want to come back to the Office Graph signals that you mentioned, right?
Yeah, I almost forgot about it.
Yeah, I know, so did I. I got so carried away trying to show off Oslo. But we came here because we wanted to actually talk about signals, right?
Yeah.
And so let's dive into that. You know, this is what I call sort of life before the Office Graph. You know, here's this person, you know, affectionately known as Kat. She's our sort of hero user persona that we kind of keep in mind as we design our experiences.
If only she knew,
She's very happy, though. Yeah. But she's worked on documents, she's got people that she works with, and of course there's conversations in Outlook and Yammer. But today, again, these are sort of siloed from each other. The conversations about the documents aren't easily linked to the actual documents themselves and the people that she works with. And so what the graph does is basically just take the work that this person, Kat, does already today and just forms the connections, right? It's the same work that she does, you know, every day, that we do all day, right? The great thing about Office is it is the place where we do most of our work. We use apps like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook, right? You know, we work with people. And if your organization has set up an organization chart in Office, you know, defining who your manager is and your direct report is, then we can create those connections, you know, in the graph, right?
Because
the people that you work with, the people on your team are the ones that are most likely the ones that you're actually sharing with and communicating with and would be happy to discover information.
But is there like a notion of, would you say, Ashok, public signals and private signals?
Yeah, I'm super glad you asked, Jem, because if you notice, some of these activities have this, lock on them. So, for instance, there's private activities like, what Kat, our user here, has viewed, which always stays private, right? Yeah. And then there's a notion of public activities and signals. So in a place like Yammer, if I'm on a public group and Kat likes something, now there's a connection made between Kat and that item that she has liked and perhaps the person who authored the item in Yammer as well. And so those public gestures can be used to create these great insights across the Office Graph in Oslo. But, of course, we always respect your privacy. The private activities and signals stay private always. Yeah. Now, the great thing about a graph is, the value of a graph grows exponentially, the more information, the more nodes, and the more people, and the more activities are in that graph. And again, with Office, you don't have to change the way that you worked at all. So, Jem and I both launched Oslo. We didn't do anything special. We didn't, configure Oslo. We didn't, follow people. We just worked just exactly the way we do today. We store stuff in OneDrive and SharePoint. We communicate with people using, email and Yammer. And our graph is just sort of built automatically.
Yeah. So what you're saying, Ashok, is, if I want to start using this and start to get value out of it from a search and discovery point of view, I don't have to change my behavior at all. I could just keep using the tools I already have. If I'm an email heavy guy, I keep using email. If I like to share files, work in team sites, use my OneDrive or Yammer, I just keep doing what I have to And I don't have to go and do any settings. I don't have to learn how to use different. We actually use the Office Graph to mine these content and signals and enrich this graph. So we bring additional value to what you're already doing.
Right. That's absolutely right. Because you know what? These activities already exist today. We do presentations. I'm presenting to all of you right now, right? You know, Jem, you and I work together, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just in the past, we never actually made those connections, you know, into a graph, you know, and now we're actually just recognizing the stuff that people have already started to do or already have been doing as well. And Jem, as you mentioned, you know, there's always a notion of public and private signals. And of course, Oslo never changes permissions on anything. So let's definitely, I think we want to include these slides in our deck as well, Jem. Okay.
I'm great that we're building the deck on stage. That's awesome. So while you're doing that, Ashok, I'd like to just talk briefly about search. And I really liked how you were able to navigate around this graph by using natural language. So if you think about the search box that you will use when you go back to work next week, you will type in a keyword, and that search engine is metadata and keyword-based. It has no understanding of your relationship to content. It doesn't know what your background is. It doesn't know no idea who you really are. But now we have an understanding about your relationships, your background, your context about the stuff that you're looking for. And in a natural way, we help you navigate within that graph and help you find what you're looking for. So instead of you typing in a query, now you're actually asking a question in a very natural way against your network. And I think that's the power of search in the graph world. Now, another benefit of this is, you know, as Ashok has mentioned, there is so much silos of content. I have so much stuff in Exchange. I have so much stuff in SharePoint Online, in my OneDrive, in my Yammer. God knows where that stuff is. And if I were looking for something today, I would have to go to these different experiences and search within. So I would have to search in my inbox, go to OneDrive, search there, go to Yammer, search there. I have to switch back and forth and try to remember where I saw this. But because Office Graph connected all of the dots across these different experiences, now with a single search box, in a very natural way, I could find exactly what I'm looking for. And the goal here is not these visual, nice-looking slides. The goal here is to save you the time that you're wasting trying to look for stuff, to save you the time that you have to do clicks when you're trying to find information. And this is that's why we believe this is really a step ahead in the enterprise search world. Now, to your point, Ashok, I really liked how search was great, but I know that this experience is not just great for searching stuff, but I think it's also great for discovering information as well. And one experience we have is this view called Trending Around Me. Now I'm able to quickly navigate to and discover highly relevant and important content that my closest colleagues are working that I also have access to that I just don't know where this stuff is. And this is a great way for me to get information that I might have missed. This is a great way for me to get information on what they're really working on. And keep in mind, I have access to this stuff. I just don't know where this stuff is. And this is a common problem. There is so much information out there that unless somebody takes the extra time, extra effort to share it with you or email it to you, you will never know. And you know, nobody has the time to share information nonstop, and nobody has the time to go around and look around and try to get this latest information. So with the graph, we're able to bring that in an intelligent way to your view. And also important to point out that we don't bring any content here. This content is tailored for me. Because Office Graph knows the topics that I care about, we're not just throwing tons of content at you, we're throwing the ones that you actually care about. And that's the difference between information overload and tailored experiences. Now, here's a good one that I just discovered that's trending around me. It has 384 views. There's already seven likes from Yammer. There's a lot of my colleagues that are actually have viewed this recently. And this happens to be actually a video. This is not the traditional Office content we had. And with one click, now I'm able to quickly take into this video portal, which we'll get to speak about tomorrow in the session, as I mentioned. But I don't want to spend much time on the video portal. What I'd like to show you is on the bottom, you'll see the section called You May Also Like. Now, this is recommendations, video recommendations that are coming based on us analyzing that people who have viewed this video have also found these other videos useful as well. This is a very simple recommendation engine, but it's actually coming from the collaborative wisdom of your organization based on the interactions of your users, based on their public signals. Now, this is powerful because this is actually coming from the Office Graph. So far you have seen the experiences that Oslo provides on top of the Office Graph, but we're actually starting to bring the intelligence of the graph into these new and existing experiences. It gets more interesting than that. When I click on the video homepage, I'll be taken right into the view of the main video portal where there's a lot of content here, a lot of spotlighted videos, different channels which are created by different team members. But this section here called popular is actually also coming from the Office Graph. So based on what's popular today, we start to bring you dynamic content. So what is the benefit here? If this wasn't coming from the graph and this was only relying on people adding videos here, if I come to this portal tomorrow, I would see the same content over and over again. But what's popular today might not be popular tomorrow. And because we bring this dynamic content with this graph, that's almost like a living organism that always follows what's really trending, what's really popular in your organization, we're able to bring highly relevant, highly dynamic content into existing experiences, as well as right within Oslo as well. But I hope it kind of like gives you an idea of what we plan to do with the graph in the future and what our developer and our partner communities can do as well, too. Now, I think it was great that Ashok that we showed a video for the first time in Oslo experience, but I'm just curious about what other types of content do you think we'll have as we go forward?
Yeah, I can definitely speak to that. But, you know, actually, I know there's some slides that folks in my team have actually created because they, you know, they showed it to me a while ago. And I'd love to actually show that slide, Jem, rather than me just trying to wing it off the top of my head about the
roadmap.
I know
you could wing it, too.
Thanks. But I think I'll actually try to use the slide. And so now we're back here in Oslo, and I can tap into that same instant Oslo search box. But now I'm not going to choose the activity pivots around me because this is actually something that someone else has actually worked on. So I'll just start typing, you know, Josh's name. Again, I just type a couple of characters. You know, because Josh and I work together a lot. We have a strong connection in the Office Graph. And now we get to the people experience in Oslo. So it's not just about content. We've really elevated people as a hero experience in Oslo as well. Now, a couple of things. One, this is a great view. It's not about just trying to find someone's phone number or contact information, but about really giving you sort of a 360-degree view of what a person is, you know, and the types of things that they work on. Again, always filtered to only the stuff that I have access to. So here we actually have set up the organization chart in our company on Office 365. So I get a view of Josh's, you know, manager and his peers as well. But where it gets really interesting is some of the other insights that are driven off the Office Graph. So Josh's public activities can be used to determine a view of the people that he actually works with, even though they're not directly in his organization. And so things like, you know, if Josh follows people in Yammer or likes stuff in, you know, a public conversation Yammer, or Josh co-authors documents.
So that's the difference between the private signals and the public signals that you were talking about.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yep. So for instance, if Josh was just emailing with someone, you know, that person would not show up here and work with. It's only the public signals that we use. But what's also really fascinating is the connections that we can make in common, the people that we actually both work with. This is actually, you know, again, a really fantastic view because a lot of times, you know, you don't really know the person. You know, maybe you're in a meeting or something, and you don't know someone too well. And this just gives you a great view. Sometimes you make connections in common that you didn't realize you had, you know, with that other person.
I actually use this quite often. Like, I have a meeting with a guy, like maybe let's say tomorrow, and I haven't really worked with him too much. I don't know much about his team. This gives me great insights. I actually go to that meeting better prepared versus going in cold. Right. It's definitely useful in that sense.
In fact, you know, Jem, it's great to see that, you know, we both work with you. That Josh and I both work with you. That's great. You know, I didn't actually realize that till now.
It's good to see the relevance working. That's
great. Yeah. I'm interested in what you're telling Josh, by the way. That's good to know. But now, you know, and then below the people network in Oslo, I can also see the content that's not only the stuff that Josh is working on that I have access to, but also the content that's trending around Josh. So again, I can tap into Josh's network to discover interesting content as well. Now, we're looking for, I get caught up so much demoing Oslo, we're looking for the roadmap on the Office Graph.
Content roadmap, yes.
Okay, great. So let me come in here, snap Oslo again so it can really be a companion while we look at the slide. I'll pop this open here, and then let's take a look. So we started with the most common content types that people use in Office, you know, people and documents. I'm really glad that you demoed videos. It's the latest one that we've added into the Office graph. And of course, we're going to be adding more and more over time. You know, one of the most intriguing and interesting ones are those public conversations that you can have in Yammer, for instance. And if you notice in the keynote, the notion of these new group concept that lives in both Exchange and Yammer that are public by default. And once you have these public shared spaces, then you can use a lot of interesting insights and conversations that you can really pull out what's actually trending and what are the ones that are really worth your time and surface them to you here in Oslo. But I think where it gets really interesting is, you know, not the ideas that we have, Jem, but really the ideas that folks in the audience will have, because the Office graph is going to be extensible. People can actually create the content types that are most meaningful for them in their scenarios, in their organizations.
Which is great, by the way, because I've actually been seeing a lot of questions in the Yammer thread about extensibility, which we'll get to shortly. Right. Yep.
And once those additional content types, like video, in your example, is a first-class citizen in the Office graph, it's now eligible to get all those same insights like what's actually trending around me, what's been modified by me, what's been shared with me. Now video can participate in all those rich natural language views, just like documents and people do today. And then, so, you know, one thing I just want to kind of mention, I think you've talked about this in the past, Jem. By the way, I love that Josh has this slide, work in progress. It's just a great view of, like, I can jump in, like, you know, Josh didn't know I was going to pull the slide, and I can see the work as it actually evolves, right? Because that really is how work happens these days. All the work that we do is constantly, you know, iterating and is a work in progress. And I can always see the latest and greatest of those slides right here. And so Josh has got a slide here about how the Office Graph is going to power experiences not just for Oslo, but within all of the experiences within Office as well. And he's got a great one here around the Share With Me view in OneDrive is also going to be, is powered actually by the Office Graph today.
And to the example we showed earlier, such as in the video portal, we are also using the Office Graph right there too.
Yep. Right, yes. Right. And then, you know, this must be the work in progress section, how, you know, we're going to have those great, rich document cards, those really great visuals also coming to OneDrive as well. Yep. So this was fantastic to see. So let's grab some of these slides into the deck as well. But you know, another insight that I actually saw in Josh's people network map up here in Oslo is you know, our design manager, you know, Berit showed up. And actually, I hadn't thought about this ahead of time, Jem. I mean, actually, in reality, I hadn't thought about it. We should probably include the latest and greatest visuals. Right, about Oslo, right? And so I can. This is a great way to just navigate to one of those people. You know, we do a really nice, you know, seamless animation. And now I see, you know, sort of the world revolving around Berit, our senior design manager in the Fast team. And so here is her organization. I'm her manager. Here's her peers and her direct reports. So we have a pretty small design team. And so that's what makes this working with section really interesting to me. We have a small design team, but we do a lot of collaboration with the design teams in Redmond. Again, you know, we're based in Norway. And so I can actually pivot and jump around to people here that are actually doing design work in Redmond right from within Berit's network map. And I would not have known to make those connections without these insights here in Oslo. And so let's see if we can find the latest UX screenshots. I know Berit has them in a shared location and team site. I don't remember which team site, but it's one of these team sites. Here we go. It looks like the Oslo UX update. So let's take a look at that. One of the questions people often ask me is, do you need to have a large team to get some of these great insights? And again, you know, the design team we have is just, you know, four designers in Oslo, so a pretty small team. And what's great is now I can dive in and see all these great, you know, screenshots. Some of them are probably work in progress. But what's great is I don't have to, like, send an email to Berit and then wait for her to respond, or, you know, ask for the, you know, managers, you know, ask for the dreaded status report, you know, where are we on something, or schedule a meeting to review. You know, with Oslo, you work, you know, transparently as a team, which small teams, you know, tend to do. They tend to work in these, you know, shared locations. You can see the work transparently as it evolves. So it's, you know, incredibly useful and fantastic for smaller teams.
And I guess that's the effect of the power of the network effect, right? Instead of you now looking around for information, the right information starts to come to you. That's pretty powerful.
That's right. Yep. So let me just talk to this one slide in particular. Like, this shows, again, in one screen how we are cross-platform. We got a web experience that's deeply integrated into Office 365. We got the Windows 8 application that we've been showing a lot, and we'll have native mobile applications across a variety of mobile devices coming soon as well. So let's definitely include a whole bunch of these slides in our deck as well. I'm always surprised and fascinated by sometimes you just discover really interesting information amongst people that you actually do work with a lot. And so since, Jem, I noticed that you showed up on Josh's page, let's check you out. Why not? And so we go to your page. So great, I get to see a view of your organization. And now, I have a pretty good sense of the stuff that you've actually been working on, Jem, because we've worked together a lot. But what I'd love to see is, again, stuff
that's
actually...
I see some new content there, by the way. That's good to know.
Yeah, and that's because, this view shows stuff trending around you as well, not just the stuff that you're working on. In fact, one of the first documents here is this work like a network. Jeff alluded to this in the keynote. And so can you tell us a little bit more about Work Like a Network, Jem?
Absolutely. I think you'll be able to read up on this as well on the Microsoft official blog post, which went live this morning. Work Like a Network is really a concept that is very important for us. I mean, we are already a huge network. The way that we interact in our own personal worlds, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's in different types of social experience we use, we're already interacting like a network, but some of these experiences haven't really trickled down into our work world, in our work environment. Now, some of these different social collaborations, such as Yammer, discussion, newsfeed, these scenarios, I think, were a first step in that journey. But as you can see with the Office graph, being able to predictably get to the information that you need without you having to type a search query, without you having to look around for information, is a great example of how we could take some of this network element that's already happening in our life and really bring it into high-value scenarios right within the organization. So we're definitely excited about that. Now, another thing that you pointed out, Ashok, was that the network is more valuable as it has more connections. Mm-hmm. And to that point, I like to talk about extensibility because I know that there is so much information out there. Yes, Office 365 provides the building blocks you need to get your job done, whether it's Exchange, whether it's SharePoint Online, OneDrive, and Yammer. But then there is so much other content that you have to work with every day, and we just want to see what we can do with that. So I know that from our team, Bill had been actually working on, maybe he wasn't directly involved, but somebody from his team has actually been working on this new concept called extensibility APIs for the Office Graph. So I could quickly navigate around Bill, so I'll click on trending around Bill, and as I'm scrolling down, I see the Office Graph extensibility. Perfect. So let's wait for that to, there it is. So we know that there is so much information out there, whether it's in your legacy line of business systems that you already use every day, whether it's the different external content sources that you might be using, or whether it's the different external services that you might have. And one of the areas that we'll be investing more in, and you'll probably hear more from us as we get closer to general availability, is the fact that we want to expose the APIs of the Office Graph. We want our developers, we want our partners to be able to start sending in content as well as signals right within the graph for two main reasons. First, as the network starts to grow, it becomes more valuable. And we know for a fact that when we start to enrich the network with additional content, with additional signals, we could start to surface more intelligent experiences, more intelligent content right within Oslo. So that's a great way for you to navigate and discover information that you otherwise might have missed. But another great scenario is, well, what if you could take those APIs and start to build intelligent experiences right within this graph? The fact that there is so much interactions happening in Exchange, the fact that there's so much collaboration, signals, activity happening between Yammer, OneDrive, and SharePoint team sites, what if you could take all of that intelligence and then join that with the other content sources that you work with and start to build these highly intelligent, highly predictive experiences? Those are some of the scenarios that we're very excited about, and we know that our partners and our developer community will get their hands on and will be very creative and how far they could take this. So based on that, let me quickly go back to my Oslo view here. We wanted to see how this will look like in real life. So although this is a conceptual example in the sense that it's not actually something we wired up, we just wanted to see how this would have worked. So right on the left, you'll see that there's a content card coming from Dynamics CRM for an account called Sarah Davis from Contoso. Now, how did Oslo and Office Graph know that this account update was important for me to be aware of? Well, based on my interactions with this account through CRM, based on the different behavior and history I might have with this account, Oslo and Office Graph quickly identify that there is this big change in this account, and I should be notified, I should be aware of this change. This is one simple example of bring that intelligence into Oslo, but like I mentioned, you could also start to build these intelligent experiences outside of Oslo into your own experiences as well. But what happens when I click on this? So with one click, I can now quickly go into CRM and get to this content, get to this line of business application with one click, and I was able to quickly get my job done without having to switch around different experiences and without having to search around for this information. So that was a quick little example of how we know, how we believe that the graph will be even more powerful as we increase the connections that we provide with our APIs in the future. So we'll definitely capture some of these slides, Ashok.
Awesome, yeah.
And let's see where we're at, actually.
Okay, yeah. So actually, we've got a pretty long deck now, actually, Jem. But fortunately, most of it's pictures. And so, you know, again, we kind of framed at the very top about how we're really reimagining search and discovery with Oslo, both at an experience level, it's not about 10 blue links anymore, and also at a very underlying technical level with the Office Graph as well. You know, but I thought maybe the best way to actually sum up, rather than go through all the slides again, is just talk about all the various scenarios and the use cases that we just went through, Jem. And I think these are actually real, you know, again, real use cases, like real scenarios, that real problems that we hit every day. One of my favorites was being able to navigate information not based on, like, where things are stored or the actual physical locations of things are stored, anchored by these extremely long URLs that are impossible to remember, but more by like these sort of intuitive, very, you know, people-oriented handles like, you know, what I've modified, what's been shared with me, or my favorite, you know, I think a lot of people's favorites, what's been presented to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well. Yeah, and that's like a normal question I would ask you, right? I wouldn't come to you and type in a query, Ashok. I would ask you, hey, you know, can you share that document with me that you showed me before? And it's a very natural way of interacting with information. I think it's very powerful. Another great example of this was, of course, us building this deck on stage. We actually work like a network.
That's
we
right.
connected across different teams. We connected across different people. Little do they know we actually use their content to build this deck. But that's the power of the network, isn't it? We were able to connect the dots and get the information we need in a very proactive way.
Actually, one of my favorite things about something like Oslo is sort of the moments you don't expect, the little serendipitous moments, like you go looking for a very specific thing, and then you discover a whole bunch of other interesting things there as well. When you only get sent a hyperlink directly to the document that you know, you're looking for, that's all that you'll ever get to, right? But here, when I was looking on Josh's page, it just clicked in my head, we should grab the user experience screenshots as well, right?
Yep.
When I was looking at my manager Bjorn, I discovered the social product strategy across Microsoft. And really, that's really what Work Like a Network is also about, is these little moments where you discover things that you didn't really anticipate as well.
Absolutely.
So, okay, I think this deck actually is in pretty good shape, or at least it's...
I think so too, yeah.
You know, and we've only got a couple minutes anyway.
Great job building a deck, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You should work in marketing.
Thanks. No, thanks. But you know, one thing is still a problem. I don't know where this deck is stored, Jem.
Neither do I, unfortunately.
Okay. Maybe one last thing we can try to do in Oslo is try to find this deck, and then let's try to post it to everyone here everyone in the audience to take a look at. So I'll go to my view in Oslo, which I've been trying not to go to until the very end, because we all know we all like to check out our own pages and stuff and what shows up. But sure enough, on my own page, not in addition to my network map. Great to see that you're on my network map as well, Jem, and that we're working with each other. But here we go. Introducing codename Oslo and the Office Graph. No one has liked it yet, but that's probably good. That's probably good because I only had two slides
right
in the very beginning. So let's go ahead here and post it to Yammer, and we'll post it for everyone to be able to see. So welcome to Codename Oslo and the Office Graph.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ashok.
Thank you. So While we do some Q&A, I'm just going to keep browsing, see if I can discover interesting new tidbits about,
all right.
about people.
So I think the microphones are active. So if you guys have any questions, we're more than happy to try to answer it. And if you can't find the answer, we'll use Oslo to find it.
When? Can you hear? Is this working?
Yes.
When is it going to be available?
When is this going to be available? That's a great question. Actually, we're planning to make this available the second half of 2014. But the way we actually make things available now in the cloud is we actually flight things. We tried with different customers. We make sure it works fine. We have a NDA preview program, which you could also learn more information about. As we fine-tune things, then we'll start to roll out in stages to all our customers. So soon enough, you'll be able to get your hands dirty with it.
So Yammer says something called the Enterprise Graph. Is this built on that? Does it replace that?
Oh, great question. So the Yammer Enterprise Graph and the Office Graph actually complement each other. But in the future, we're hoping to have a single unified data model across all. But this is a stepping stone for us to get there. But there's definitely a constant interaction between signals and content going back and forth between them for now. Yes?
But they're two separate technologies today.
Yes, yes. But keep in mind, Yammer Graph is limited to the Yammer experiences, while the Office Graph spans across all three experiences.
Is it only going to be for day forward stuff, or are you going to be able to crawl our existing SharePoint activity, Yammer activity, Exchange activity, et cetera?
So that's a great question. We'll be able to consume all of your content that you have,
right.
But your interactions and behavior, we can only pick that up once we actually have flighted that mechanism to your tenant. Yes. All right, awesome. Well, one more question.
Sorry. Are you planning to make this also can be used in on-premise?
So that's a great question. We're definitely looking at how this would work in hybrid scenarios. We'll definitely have more information closer to general availability. Yep.
This calendar year, second half of this calendar year.
Yes. Oh, more questions coming. That's awesome. Great, great.
So we got the idea about pulling information from Yammer, Exchange, and other sources. But what about cases where the information exists outside in, say?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Currently, we get those from connectors via.
Yeah. That was the example I showed with the CRM. So that content was actually in Dynamics CRM. Yeah. And with the graph extensibility, we were able to push that content with connectors and the signals associated to that content and surface it right within the graph. So the idea is to make the graph extensible in the future. That's one of our goals.
Okay. So this doesn't obviate the need for connectors from external providers. For example, if I have things from Jive or from Confluence, if you want to pull content in.
It's very early. We're just looking at making those APIs available. But you know, once we have more information, you could definitely check that out.
Thank you. I got two questions. First of all, can I pin content so that it stays where it's up there so that I can come back and check it later? Because it seems like it's rolling through pretty quick.
That is a fantastic question. And actually, from our limited sort of beta testing that we've done, it's been one of the most requested features. So all I can say is stay tuned.
All right, great. And as a service owner, I'm going to get the question, can I force content to be promoted and define a position on that? So if we have a company announcement or something along those lines, can I say, hey, I want that in top left, boom, when everybody comes in at 8 o'clock in the morning?
That's a great question. It's something that we've also gotten a lot of requests about. I would say that there's certain views that we really feel the need to make sure that it's the best, the highest quality stuff driven by people's activities and not just by someone, you know, pinning something. But I think it's also fun to say there's other views where it's a bit more of a curated experience.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For instance, something that's like trending around me, that's very much driven by activity. Yeah. And we want to make sure we don't change that by letting people you know, pin a whole bunch of stuff that's actually not trending around you. But there's no reason to say you can't like go to your own page. Maybe you want to pin stuff to your page because that's
create a collection of content. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
First, I want to say this is amazing.
Thank you.
You should be very proud.
Thank you.
How are you thinking about security and
the potential of opening this up sort of cross-organizationally to show your partners the kind of things that you're working on when they may not have the same identity provider?
I would say these concepts in theory would also work in an extranet scenario, because that content already lives in the different team sites and different groups in different OneDrive folders. So I could see that becoming a reality as well. But that's something that I think we'll be able to think more about as we go through this journey. Yes.
So people could use this for their customer feedback site on their...
Sure, absolutely. When we say work like a network, I mean, networks these days involve people that are outside of your organization and within your organization as well.
Yeah.
It's if you add people to your office tenancy, they'd live outside your organization.
Yeah.
They're certainly eligible for the same insights as the others.
Absolutely.
In terms of the office graph, the connections with people, I see managers, coworkers. Is that coming, are those signals coming from Active Directory?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So it kind of hinges on having a good Active Directory then?
Well, there's sort of two sides to it. One is like the organization stuff is contingent on people defining their organization in Active Directory. But the great thing about some of these insights like working with is these are based on public signals. So for instance, if I like something that you post on Yammer and we co-author on a bunch of documents, then we're working with each other, even if no one has specified, no one will specify that in Active Directory, and we're in different organizations. That's the magic of the Office Graph, is the activity is what connects us, in addition to the very strong, curated things like someone defining an org in Active Directory. Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah.
So two more questions for the sake of time. Yes, please.
All the content that we've seen is in English, because I assume that this is a language, some corporate language in Microsoft. But as you're based in Oslo, I assume that maybe Norwegian would be the informal language. Can you give us some insight regarding the multilingual capabilities regarding this?
The question was the multilingual capabilities
of.
We're going to be up to the same standards as all the other workloads and apps in Office, so all the worldwide support is something that we have to do.
Absolutely.
So based in Oslo, you can expect that we will.
One last question. Yes, please.
Is there a way to classify the hit that you get to say that this was relevant or not? So you get further...
Yeah, so a lot of the machine learning techniques that we use to connect the dots for these insights in the Office graph, like trending around me, there's feedback mechanisms. So when people actually click and read stuff on trending around yourself, that feeds back into the system, right?
Yeah, and you ignore something, we will also know that you ignored it as well. So it learns all the time.
Okay, but when I open it and decide it was not relevant for me, how to provide feedback?
Right, so there actually are some feedback mechanisms in the product to say, more like this, less like this, for instance.
Awesome. I'll take your question after. I'll come there.
So I just want to know what's happening with metadata, term store, all the things we're used to help raise relevancy.
It's still there. It's still coming in SharePoint. It's still in there. We use that metadata, but we also understand the topics of the semantics of the content as well. So it will be still there. The relationships to people and content are complementary to the metadata that already lives. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for your time.
You.